Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Good, man. I'm so honored to be here. Y'all, I love this church. Come on, aren't you thankful for this church? The presence and the power of the Lord so strong this morning. And don't you love your pastors, Pastor Micah, Pastor Chelsea? And I love them, honor them deeply. The way that, number one, their marriage is, and how their kids love and serve the Lord. It's just, man, I'm honored to call them friends and to be a part of what God is doing here. I remember, man, when you called me and we talked on the phone, you're like, man, there's this church in Crestview. And it was in the very beginning, like, let's pray about this stage. And now to see what God is doing through this house is so huge. Two services, y'all. Two services and people coming and encountering Jesus. Y'all are a part of something incredible. So I want to encourage you, jump in. Get involved in what God is doing here. And I truly believe the best is yet to come. You guys are only going to see an increase of lives transformed, God changed. And let me say this. I'm not just like blowing smoke. Like this morning, y'all, the anointing and the power of the Lord was here. Like, that was strong. So I'm excited and honored just to jump right in today and share a word that is really new to me. But even within the short time the Lord has given me this, I believe a lot of my favorite words are the words that God, like, gives to me first. He corrects me, teaches me, challenges me, then I'm able to share and release that. And this is a word that really has transformed my life ever since I've received it, and is everything from the way I view things and perceive things to even a level of victory in the Lord that I'm walking in. So I'm excited to share it with you. Before I dive into the word, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here, that you are moving, that you are speaking. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint the word of God as it comes forth. Lord, I pray that you would break mindsets, you would bring revelation and encouragement, and that your love would shine through like never before. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. You know, I want to share something with you that I feel like God's given me a couple weeks ago that I've been able to put into practice. I've been able to walk through, and like I said, it's brought me to a fresh level of victory and even growth in my relationship with the Lord that I want to encourage you within today. And really, this started a couple of weeks ago. You know, like Pastor Micah said, I'm a part of a ministry called The Ramp in Hamilton, Alabama. We do youth conferences really throughout the year to see a generation awakened, see them encounter God. My heart burns for Gen Z to see this generation on fire for the Lord, doing what God's called it to do. And, you know, it was the week of conference, and I've been, you know, been a part of the ministry for a long time. And so coming into the week, I was like preparing myself for increased spiritual warfare, you know, like kind of getting ready, like, you know, just sometimes, like, you know, things just get kind of odd and weird. And, you know, I'm just trying, you know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So I'm like, you know, trying to prepare myself for that. Well, how many of y'all have also like gone through times of spiritual like warfare and testing, and you didn't realize it till you're like at the end of it? You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh man, like I missed it. You know, like you're struggling and fighting. You're like, what's going on? Things are so weird. What's wrong with me? And then it's like fourth quarter of the spiritual battle, and you're like, oh man, should have like rebuked the devil or something. Like you know. And I felt like that's where I was. I had a really challenging week. I felt abnormally tired. But not just like I have three kids tired, amen. Like abnormally tired. I couldn't think. It was like I couldn't like hear from the Lord. I just felt extremely fatigued. And not only that, my mind wasn't sharp as well. I there was a cloudiness and a fog that I had. And so Friday morning, that service starts that night. I was seeking the Lord, just saying, God, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with me? And I was even praying, like, do I need to, like, go get checked out at, like, the doctor, like, mentally? Is there, like, do I need to increase my vitamin regimen? You know, do I need some omega-3 fatty acids, some alpha brain? Like, I'm getting all these ads on social media. Like, what's wrong with me, y'all? Like, do I need to, like, cold plunge or get sun exposure, all the weird Instagram fads? Like, what do I need to do? Like, Lord, tell me what I need to do. And I was sitting there, I was in prayer, and the Lord actually led me to, I had a box of books in my office, and I felt the Holy Spirit drop this book in my heart. And I haven't read it. I've only read a little bit of it. And I pulled it out, and there's a book about this big called The Spiritual Man by an author by the name of Watchman Nee. I'm a huge Watchman Nee fan. And so I pulled out this book, and I just kind of like, you know, like Russian roulette it. I just kind of open it up like, speak to me, Lord, you know. Y'all, that's how you know you're desperate. You're like, and speak to me. Like, and so like, I just literally was like, I had no clue that this was going to hit on this. But I was just praying this, and I open it up, and what I open up to was a whole series of chapters on the mind. And I knew that the Lord was speaking to me in this moment that I was not wrestling against flesh and blood, but I was wrestling with a spiritual attack in my mind. And this morning, I want to share with you a word simply called winning the war in your mind. Winning the war in your mind, because what I began to realize was that everything I've been battling with, things I've been facing, I really could be rooted back to my thought life, rooted back to my mind. And, you know, this is something, y'all, just to be very transparent, I haven't really, like, thought about in years since I was, like, a teenager when I read Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind. So I was like, oh, I'm good. Like, I read that book. Like, I'm covered, you know? But I begin to look back into my life and begin to say, man, okay, what's going on in my mind that is actually hindering the way that I live, the way that I act, the way that I process things? And because here's the deal, y'all, we have to understand we are in a spiritual war. I quoted earlier, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We can't live in this place where I believe a strategy and the tactic of the enemy is to make us believe that everything is natural, not everything spiritual. I'm a huge person of balance, so I'm not the type of person that's like, you know, oh, I have a headache, I rebuke that demonic spirit of migrania, you know. Sometimes you don't drink enough water. You have 18 cups of coffee and you drink zero water. You are going to have a headache. Like sometimes your tire is just going to be flat. Okay, I get that. But at the same time, we have to realize that we are in a legit war against an enemy that desires to destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your children. We have to understand that. And even when it comes down to spiritual warfare, like part of me, as soon as I begin to realize this, it began to click with me, like, of course it's in my mind. Like that is the battlefield in which we combat the enemy. That's the number one battlefield in which we combat the enemy, because the enemy knows if he can gain strongholds in our mind, he can gain strongholds in our life. That our mind will dictate our actions. And I wish spiritual warfare was you know, I wish it was just a little bit more like cut and dry. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you grew up doing human videos in the church in like the 2000s, you know, the demon in every human video skit, like the Grim Reaper costume with the hood and the, you know, like that's what. And it would be a lot easier if every single time we encountered spiritual warfare, there's just like a demon-y person in the corner. You know, like you're cooking dinner with your spouse and wives, he forgot to take the trash out. And y'all begin to argue, it'd be a lot easier if, like, in the corner, there's just a demon-y person just like, ah, demon noises. And then it'd be like, oh, it's you. No, get out. Like, stop it. Shut up. You know, or like that person cuts you off going down the road. You know, they had the demonic spirit of not using a blinker. Y'all, that's a stronghold in our nation we need to tear down. Life would be a lot better if people use their blinkers. Like, they like pull out in front of, and there's just a demon in the back of the Toyota Camry just like, ah, I want you to get angry. Cuss them out. You got like a Jesus fish on the back of your car and you're like, give them the finger. And there's just a demon person in the back seat. That would be so much easier, but I've never had that happen to me. Cuss out your spouse. They shaved their beard in the sink and didn't clean it up. You know, you like pull out the shower and the demon's just like, eh. You're like, that'd be so much better, but it's not. What I've come to realize is that it's a lot more subtle. It's a lot more crafty. It's a lot in subtle ways that we don't pick up on and don't realize. And that's actually the practice of the enemy as a whole, is for him to sneak in unannounced and to do damage. And before you even realize you're under attack, damage has already been done. We have to understand there is a war going on in our mind. We have to take notice of this. And that was the big thing for me, is I feel like I've been in like this fog and in this stupor, that I've been allowing my thoughts to go unchecked, unchallenged. And I felt with the Lord coming into agreement with God and saying, enough is enough. I'm taking back my thought life. So much of my actions and my attitude and mentality can be rooted back to demonic thinking, and I am ending it today. So listen, we have to understand the mind matters. I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It's a very popular scripture. You know this. It says this: for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Get that? Though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Can I tell you that your weapons can pull down strongholds? We are not called to sit back and allow the enemy to bully us and take over our lives. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. For casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to understand that we are not walking according to the flesh, that we are in a spiritual battle, and God has given us the tools and the equipment to walk in victory. I'm going to give you a few ways now to recognize and to understand the attack and the strategy of the enemy. The first one is simply this. The first strategy of the enemy that comes against our mind is in the area of temptation. Everybody say temptation. We all understand, we've all been in that place. This is one of the main tactics. When we oftentimes, I'm going to break this down this in a few different ways. Oftentimes when we think about the strategy and the attack of the enemy, we are most often thinking in the realm of trying to get us to commit sin, to commit rebellion, to break God's law. We understand that's one of the main strategies when we think about temptation. And we have to look at this. We have to understand and realize that all temptation begins in the mind. All temptation begins within our thought life, ultimately trying to get a desired action from us. You can look at your thought life acting as a seed that will ultimately bear fruit. What seeds have the enemy been planting in your life? Like we've all been there before. You know, you're living for Jesus. You're serving God. Things are going great. You're walking on the straight and narrow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, that thought will come. You know, you're like hanging out. You're having coffee with one of your friends. And you remember some juicy gossip about Sister Glenda. Sister Glenda got into a fist fight at Hobby Lobby. You're like, whoa. Did you hear about Glenda? They're like, no, I did not. You're like, I got video of the fight at Hobby Lobby. They were fighting in the silk flower section. It was awesome. Potpourri was going everywhere. And you know, Glenda told you, don't tell anybody, please. And you're like, girl, I got you. Glenda, I got your back. But then all of a sudden you have this thought that's like, you need to say something so you can pray for Glenda together. It's not gossip if you throw the prayer word out there. Let's pray for Glenda. Did you hear what happened? You've been trying to control your tongue. You've been trying to do right. But then all of a sudden that one little thought comes in. You know, you're by yourself. You're scrolling on Instagram and that thought comes. Go check out that girl posting bikini pics. You're doing great. You're just on Instagram to check in with life and see how everybody's doing. The next thing you know, it's, you know you don't need to go there, but there's a thought that's been planted that says, go there. We've all been in those situations where just simply a thought leads to temptation, and temptation leads to our stumbling. Listen to what James says. James chapter 1, verse 14, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The enemy will sow seeds of temptation in your life, waiting, just waiting. That's what we understand. The enemy is more patient than we are. He will sow a seed into your life and just back away. He'll sow a seed of a thought that will, and that thought will just rest in your brain, grow. And oftentimes it comes in. Have you ever gotten offended at somebody for nothing? They're like, bye, have a good day. And they're like, what did they mean by that? You know? And you're getting bitter and offended and upset at somebody, and they didn't even do anything. We've all done it. Or, y'all, this is the worst. Some people, y'all, can I give you some pastoral wisdom? Add an emoji to your text or an exclamation point, because we don't know what K means. Hey, see you soon. K. Oh, they're offended. We've all done it. What did I do to you? Y'all, throw it. Help a brother out. Add an exclamation point for somebody. Not three, though. Three's a little extra. Maybe just one. But we've all read into things that we think is enemy. The enemy will sow something into your mind and say, what do they mean by that? Why did they look at me like that? And that one thought can ultimately grow and to lead us into somewhere we never intended on going. Listen, the second area that the enemy attacks our thought life and our thinking is this, is in the area of deception. Everybody say deception. We can see this, that Satan, his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is another one of the seeds that the enemy will sow, that if not uprooted, deception can lead us astray. Proverbs says this, there's a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof is death. That's deception, where you can think everything is right, everything's okay, I'm doing what's right, but actually you've rooted your life in a lie. You've rooted your belief, your perception of God, your perception of people, your perception of self in a lie of the enemy. We have to understand that Satan is the father of lies. This is his strategy. What did he do when he came to Eve? He questioned the word of God. Did God really say? You know, Eve's just hanging out, and then Satan appears and just, you know, in the form of a snake and just simply says, you know, I don't know. Is that what he really meant? Surely God didn't mean that. Because, you know, I'm just trying to help you out. You won't actually die. Die's such a strong word. You won't really die. See, he came and he sowed a seed of deception into Eve's mind. And at one point she was rooted, she was grounded, she knew what she stood for. We're not supposed to eat of the tree. And one deceptive thought caused her to question everything about the goodness of God, question who God is, and ultimately said, well, you know what? I think you're right. We have to be careful about the lies of the enemy that we are harboring. Even the Bible says this, that Satan often masquerades as an angel of light. That's why we have to have the spirit of wisdom. We have to have the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, in our life to give us discernment. Is this God or is this not God? Is this the lie of the enemy? We have to have to be grounded in the truth of who God is. That's why it's so important. Y'all, have you ever wondered why there's such an attack on the Word of God? People deconstructing their faith is deception. That's why we have to have, why do you think when you go and you just begin to read the Bible, you get distracted? You get sleepy? We can binge watch Netflix for 4 hours, but we can't read 3 scriptures? Could it be that Satan hates this? Y'all, there's power in the Word. There's power in the Word of God. I love what Derek Prince said. Derek Prince, he's like old school, like wrote about demons and spiritual warfare and all this different stuff. And I remember one time, he's an old school preacher, and he was just like, you know, people would say all the time, oh, if you're having trouble sleeping, read the Bible. And it will make you fall asleep. So if you're having a problem sleeping at night, you just need to read the Bible. And he said, how is that okay? That here we are saying, if the Word of God, if you're having trouble sleeping, it's like, the Word of God's not melatonin. It's not NyQuil. Could it be that the enemy does not want you reading the Bible? The enemy will have you do anything except to read and allow the Word of God to establish inside of your heart and in your spirit. Listen, we are in the last days, we're in the last hours, and the Bible says many false teachers will arise in those days. That's why we have to be so guarded to understand, what am I eating of? What am I receiving of? We have to be guarded against deception in this hour. What lies has the enemy spoken to you? Has he whispered to you that you've held on to that have ultimately shaped where you're at today? Listen, the third thing is this. Satan will attack you in your mind through accusation. In the Bible, he's literally, one of his names is the accuser of the brethren. That means one of his main assignments is just to bring accusation against you. And I don't know about you, but I battled with this before in my life so many different times. Oftentimes, the accuser will speak the loudest when you are standing in a place of worship. Have you ever had that happen before? You're getting ready to go in. You're ready to go after God. The anointing is here. The presence is here. We're singing about Jesus. You lift your hands. You begin to worship. And the enemy's just like, you didn't pray enough this week. You didn't read your Bible enough this week. You raised your voice at your kids this week and kicked your cat. You know? Like Taco Bell messed up your order and you threw a burrito through the window. Just, you can keep your beefy 5-layer. That was a word of knowledge for somebody. Somebody's like crying. The enemy will bring up every weakness and mistake in your life. But can I tell you that we serve a good, good Father who does not rub your mistakes into your face. He's not the one that's constantly bringing your weaknesses and your failures. The Bible says this, he knows our frame, that we are dust. Y'all, we have a merciful and faithful high priest that, listen to this, that sympathizes with our weaknesses. He sympathizes with the weakness. That means when I come to him in humility and brokenness and repentance, he does not reject me. He brings me closer. And listen, I don't know about you, but whenever I've had to discipline my kids and I discipline them, I don't hold over their failure over them. I don't 3 or 4 days later, but remember when you hit your sister the other day? Hey, Dad, can I have a snack? No, you cannot, because you hit your sister last week. Well, you disobeyed 6 months ago. I don't think so. No, that's not who we are. Because here's the problem. Here's where a lot of people fall into a trap, is they hear that voice and you actually believe it's God doing that to you. But that's not the voice of our Father. That's not the voice of our shepherd, the good shepherd. That's not his voice. But oftentimes we come in here and we actually think it's God pushing us out of the presence. But can I tell you, the answer for your problems is not to be pushed out of the presence of God. It's to be drawn near to the presence of God. I've never disciplined my girls and said, okay, because you did this, we're not talking for the next 2 months. Until you fix yourself, we're not going to talk. Until you fix yourself, you're not allowed to have dinner at our table. You're not even allowed to be around me. We think that God is trying to fix us through removing his presence. But the answer to your struggles is his presence. The goodness of God draws men to repentance. He's not going to hold those things over you. He is faithful and just. The Bible says, confess your sins to the Lord, for he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all of your sins and all of your righteousness. Walk in the light as he is in the light, for we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of our sins. Listen, he's not going to hold your mistakes and failures over you. You have to identify that voice of the stranger in your life and say, that voice is not of my Father. That voice is of the enemy. The number four is this. Satan will paint pictures of a fearful future. He will cultivate within your mind and within your thought life worst case scenario situations. And y'all, I am the worst at this. Amen? Like, I think I kind of have like an overactive imagination. And I'll go down these like rabbit holes in a thought life that I'm like, how did I get here? You know? Like, you sneeze a little bit too hard and you start planning your funeral. You know? Like, because here's what it is. There will be a negative circumstance and the enemy will now create a whole movie in your brain of where this negative circumstance is going to lead. You're struggling financially. Your car is going to get repoed and your house is going to be foreclosed on. How am I going to support my kids? What am I going to do? That you start going through, oh, maybe I can like sell a kidney on the black market. All these different thoughts. And you're literally just going through a tough time financially. You see, what happens though is that the enemy is great, or he thinks he's great at dictating our future. But here's the problem. We grab onto it. We allow that to meditate in our lives. We allow our thinking. You know, especially as parents, I know it is very easy to worry about your kids. Like, if you aren't, you know, I got Gray coming in. Because I got kids, y'all. We've all been in those situations where you're laying in bed at night just worried about your kids. How are they going to turn out? Is everything going to be okay? Are they hurt? Is everything okay at school? Are they being bullied at school? All these different things in your mind that aren't rooted in God. We have to take back our imagination. We have to make sure that the narrative that we're listening to in our mind is of God and not of the enemy. Because the enemy is more than willing to paint you a narrative. That's where anxiety comes. What is anxiety? Anxiety is putting faith in a future created by the enemy. What if? What if? What if China invades? You know? What are we going to do? What's going to happen if aliens are going to like invade Earth? COVID turns into a zombie apocalypse. You know, your mind just goes to these crazy thinking and thought lives. Like, have you ever, like, gotten into an argument with someone? Like, in the shower? By yourself? Hopefully that person, like, isn't, hey, get in here, you know? That would be really weird. But, like, somebody said something to you, like, that day at work, and next that night, you're like, oh, I wish I would have. Why? Because an ungoverned thought life is the playground for the enemy. And that's where anxiety, that's where hopelessness, that's where depression. What happened to Elijah? Jezebel sends word to him and says this: let the gods do more to me, and if not more, or do the same, if not more, if you do not become like one of these this time tomorrow. Talking about all the prophets of Baal that he just had killed. The Bible says this, that when Elijah saw that, get that, those are very interesting words. She spoke words to him, but it says when Elijah saw that, the words, the lies, became a vision. Which ultimately led Elijah, we all talk about how he is suicidal. The Bible says he walked a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a broom tree, and prayed that he would die. He was having suicidal thoughts, but y'all, we have to understand this. He walked in the wilderness expecting to die. You don't walk 8 to 9 hours into the middle of nowhere with no food or no water and expect to make it back. He walked out expecting not to make it back. Why? Because he saw the narrative that the enemy painted for him. Listen, when it comes to our thought life, thinking about our future, we can either partner with God or we can partner with the enemy. Because I'm telling you, God will not give you a plan and a future that's connected with anxiety. He will not, like the thoughts that you have about like dreaming for your future, there will not be hopelessness wrapped up in there. Because Pastor Michael was talking about this earlier when it comes to like steps of faith, like stepping out in faith, doing something. Y'all, the craziest moments of faith I've had, moments where I've had to give money I did not have, moments where like my family and I uprooted and moved from Alabama, all of our friends and family, to Tampa, Florida. Those moments of crazy, ridiculous, like I should be losing it right now, I had the greatest peace I could ever imagine. Not just supernatural peace, supernatural rest. I didn't understand it. It was a peace of God that surpassed all understanding, because my natural circumstances should say, you are crazy. You have lost it. But listen, God's plan will always be marked by peace, by hope, by faith, not by fear and anxiety and worry. All right, listen, how have we allowed our mind to get to a place where it is? Watchman says this in that book I read. Two main primary ways. I find it so interesting that he even wrote this in the 20s. The first way is through a blank mind. A blank mind. It's so interesting now that the average screen time most people have is 6+ hours a day on a screen. We've all been in there. They call it doom scrolling. If you've ever been in a moment where you're tired and you sit down and you start scrolling and it's like an hour and a half's gone by and you're like, where am I? What has happened? What is that? It's a blank mind. It's when our mind is opened and there's nothing there, that opens us up for the enemy to then bring suggestions and thoughts and temptations into our brain. Second way is through a passive mind. We're thinking thoughts, they're just completely unchecked and unchallenged. We're allowing any and every thought. And I think that's one of the major areas believers struggle, is that we are letting the enemy bring us these thoughts. We are allowing these thoughts to come in, take root, and set up shop. Okay, so what do we do? How can we handle this? The first thing is simply this. We have to screen our thoughts and take them captive. You have to screen your thoughts and take your thoughts captive. Listen, today you are setting up for the first time ever a TSA checking system in your brain. If you've ever flown, you know how intense the TSA is. We've all been in a situation where it's like 4 a.m., and some big sweaty dude is yelling at you. Shoes off! Laptop out of the bag! Y'all, if you've ever messed up, y'all, that is like the worst moment. If you've like left an iPad in there, you think they're going to shoot you. Like, no mercy, come to the back. We're shooting you and burying you behind the airport. You left your shoes on, we're waterboarding you. We've all been there before. But listen, I would rather have an intense screening measure than a dangerous screening measure. I would rather be more intense on what I'm screening than that, because I know, yo, ain't no bombs made it past this. Y'all, we're safe. I got smelled by a dog. I got touched in places. They like scanned me, my body. like, what? That's what we have to do. And listen, it's gonna take more mental capacity on your thought life. Because this is what will happen. We'll have thoughts randomly coming to our heart. Did you know that 80%, studies showed 80% of all of our thoughts are negative? That's 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day are negative. And a lot of them, you're thinking without even realizing it. You sit down to do something, and you begin to think, you're an idiot. You're not capable. Thoughts like, you know, your cancer runs in your family. You're going to die young of cancer. Your parents' marriage ended in divorce. Your marriage is going to end in divorce. Your spouse is, oh my goodness, your spouse is cheating on you. And you begin to think all of these different negative thoughts in your brain that we just allow to take shop in. We just allow the enemy to come in with whatever thoughts. You know, especially in you got to look at it like this. Even in the realm of accusation, you're still bound by your sin. You're lost. You're addicted. What you got to do is you got to treat it like TSA. You need to break out that big wand. Amen. And they walk through, and you say, "Okay, so who? Where are you going again today?" It's like, "Well, you know, you're still an addict. You'll always be a sinner. You'll always be bound by your sins, and you need to walk in the condemnation that you feel right now." Beep 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 beep. I'm sorry, that doesn't check out, because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm sorry, but you got to keep on moving. Oh, let's see where this one is. Beep, 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 beep. I'm sorry, what's your name? Well, your kids are going to backslide and they're going to go into the world and they're not going to serve God. The Bible says that your children shall be taught by the Lord and great shall be the peace of them. I'm sorry that thought does not align with the Word of God. You have to keep going. You've got to allow every single thought that comes through your brain, you've got to stop and check it and say, who spoke you and who's the author of you? And then all of that, you just can't let them go. You've got to take captive those thoughts and bring them under the obedience of Christ. Not only am I rejecting you, I'm actually taking captive these thoughts. Listen, the second thing you have to do is you have to renew your mind with the truth of God's word. Romans 12:1 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." This is verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, the word of God renews your mind. The word of God, the truth of Scripture, will bring renewal to your mind. Every lie that the enemy has spoken, listen, the truth of the word of God will unravel it. The truth of the word of God will literally, as you begin to read Scripture, that's why it's so powerful that we as believers have a steady word life. That we know what God is saying. Why? Because when I know what God is saying, I know the character and the nature and the foundational scriptures and applications of what he is saying over my life and who the real living God is. We have to allow our mind to be renewed by the truth of the Word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I believe a lot of people still live under their old man and in the old sin patterns because they still believe the lie of that is who they are. But the truth says that old man is actually dead, and that I've been alive, I've been raised from the dead with Christ Jesus. If the enemy can make you believe that you're broken and make you believe that you're bound and make you believe this is just who you are and you'll always be like this, you will be like that and you will always live that way. But we have to understand, what has God said about my life? Worship team, you can go ahead and come on up. You have to allow the word of God to renew your mind. Y'all, I don't understand it. I just know that the word works. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Y'all, you can read Leviticus and have encounters with Jesus. Amen? You can read Numbers, genealogies, and just be weeping. Praise God for Methuselah. Lord, bless Methuselah. Like, you're just getting, I don't know. Like, I'm telling you, listen, if you don't, when you go to lunch today and you eat something healthy, amen. You don't have to know how the food breaks down in your body and where the vitamins go and all the processes of that. You just know when I eat it, it fixes me. And some, all you got to do is you got to start waking up in the morning. You just got to start eating. Eating, eating. There's been times I've read and read. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see any major differences the moment of. But I tell you, I begin to walk in something different. Allow the Word of God to wash your mind, to renew your mind. Listen, the third thing is this. You have to trust Jesus to restore your mind. Because here's the deal. There's a lot of practicals you can do. Take captive every thought. Read the Word of God. Meditate on certain things. Watch what you're fantasizing about, what you're daydreaming about. All that. We do our practical work, but can I tell you that there's a place where our practical ends and God begins. I can only do so much. You can't like fix your brain on your own. Like you can't go in and rewire it and change this and change that. You have to trust God to renew your mind. I love what the scripture says. There's a man, he's a demon-possessed man of the Gadarenes who was bound, and he literally would live amongst the tombs and was just in a very dark place. And we know the story. He was supernaturally set free. And I love what happens right here. The Bible says that the surrounding village came and they found this man, when whom the demons left, clothed and sitting in his right mind. Sitting in his right mind. I believe for a lot of you, you've just come to accept your thought life and the way you think as this is normal. But I want to tell you, it's not normal. Constantly heavy, constantly in fear, constantly feeling oppressed. And the voice of the accuser telling you all of your faults and all of your shortcomings and constantly pointing out to you what's wrong about you. Listen, I want to tell you tonight that through Jesus, He can restore your mind. Where there's been heaviness and there's been like a cloud in your brain. The enemy wants to remove that. And I believe with all my heart, your memory will get better. Your sleep will get better. When you go to bed at night and those thoughts are racing and you can't turn your brain off, that's not God. You go to do something at work and the enemy automatically tells you you're not good enough, you'll never be able to do it. That's not God. That's the voice of the liar. And I believe today God wants to restore your mind. Let's stand all over. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands to Jesus. Come on, His Holy Spirit is here. His power is here. I come against every lie of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I expose every lie. Some of you have been holding on to lies since your childhood. That this is who you are, and you're messed up, and you're jacked up, and you'll always be an addict, and addictions just run in your family, and I just have an addictive person. I break that lie in the name of Jesus. Your old nature might have had an addictive personality, but not under the blood of Jesus. You are a new creation. I declare over every thought that is not of God, we expose right now in Jesus' name. We command it to go in Jesus' name. Right now, just put your hand on your head. I'm going to pray over your mind. I want you to pray this with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I expose every lie, every deception, every temptation, everything that is not of you. I declare I have the mind of Christ. My mind is clean. My mind is pure. My mind is smart. My mind operates according to the Word and the will of God. Holy Ghost, take up residency in my mind. In Jesus' name.